When a big box store closes, there's no shortage of ideas for what to do with that space. But a relatively new one is starting to gain more traction here, turning it into a self-storage facility. Part of the appeal is the valley's population growth. People moving means people need a place to put their stuff, and operators from across the country are looking at expansion possibilities here. With me to talk more about this is Al Harris. He's a web editor at sparefoot.com, an online marketplace for self-storage. And Al, how much of a trend is this? Is it really a big thing?
Absolutely. In general, the self-storage industry is in the close to the peak of the biggest building boom that it's had since the mid-2000s. It's spending a lot of money right now on construction, not just conversions, but ground-up projects. And conversions are just part of the mix, I guess. And they're actually a really good concept for storage because, you know, retailers are scaling back, especially with competing with companies like Amazon, your e-commerce companies, the brick and mortar, there's less and less need for them. And those big spaces with the big parking lots, they are, you know, prime targets for storage operators because they're on, you know, main and main, highly visible locations. There's also extra land. Usually they don't need the whole parking lot, so they can actually eventually, you know, maybe build a new facility on that site.
Is there that much demand for self-storage units now?
Self-storage demand is kind of a consistent force. You know, most people are familiar with it if they haven't used it themselves, and eventually they probably will. Most people use storage in connection with a move. And Phoenix, obviously, I'm sure as you know, has probably seen a lot of, is one of the, you know, the most moved to cities in the country right now.
Is this trend maybe more prevalent in a place like Phoenix where most of the houses don't have basements, don't have attics, the kinds of places where people would typically store things long-term in their homes?
Yeah, I don't think that has much of an effect because you see storage is popular everywhere across the country, you know, in Charlotte and up north and Chicago. Like, I mean, every city in the country, the top 20 markets or so are all going through this kind of building boom. So there is demand. You know, it's not really so much connected with necessarily a lack of space in your home. People keep buying things, they keep ordering things, and they run out of space to put them everywhere, whether they have a basement or not.
What is a typical build-out like if you're going to take the shell of what used to be, say, a big box retailer and turn it into a self-storage unit as far as the amount of work that has to be done, the kind of costs that are incurred?
It depends on the scope of the project. You know, sometimes they can, because the big box store is pretty high vertically, you know, it's not like just a 10-foot ceiling, they'll have a higher ceiling. So they can often put a mezzanine kind of structure inside the building so they can have two levels of storage. Just depends on all the various things. But, you know, it's a few million dollars.
You talked about the tendency of people to acquire things and need a place to put them. And I'm wondering about sort of the conventional wisdom about millennials and younger people, which is that they're spending less money on things and more money on experiences, trips and dining out, things like that. And I'm wondering if the operators of these storage units are maybe concerned about that, and maybe not the short-term, but maybe the long-term viability of some of these projects?
Yeah, it's a very good question, and something that I've thought about a little bit. But I think, you know, it is pretty far long-term, so it's, you know, who knows whether, you know, today's millennials, if, you know, that's how they are now, but I think maybe the tendency to accumulate items intensifies perhaps as you get older and age into that kind of habit. Or do they maintain their current habits? And yeah, as older individuals, maybe they do acquire less things and there is a less need. But I think it's hard to tell which case will happen. So in the meantime, I mean, there's a kind of a never-ending demand for storage. And it's not always connected to people accumulating things. Sometimes it's just a convenience factor if you're moving and you only need to temporarily keep your things. You know, there's a gap between when you move into one house or another house. And that's probably more common than anything else.
When you look at the number of projects that are popping up across the country, do you think this is a sector that is in any danger of becoming maybe oversaturated, that there might be too many of these projects, too many self-storage units coming online for the actual demand?
I think you're actually seeing that happen in some places. It's definitely a market by market thing. And places where the self-storage boom started sooner, for example, in Texas, where I am in Austin, and other cities like Dallas, Houston, they've seen the first wave of development, and they're already kind of reaching that peak where they probably don't need too much more. But, you know, it is a very localized business, so you're usually only drawing from a 3-mile radius of the facility that you're in. So there might be sub-markets within a market that are overdeveloped but are still far enough away from other facilities where it may make sense to add more. So, yeah, it truly depends on the market. But you are starting to see that, and I think that's why I say this is probably the peak year that you're going to see new construction projects start nationwide. And then next year you'll probably see more openings of new facilities being completed. And then after that, we probably will see things taper off.
Al Harris is web editor at sparefoot.com, an online marketplace for self-storage.